Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, Stalking Time for the Moon Boys listeners, and welcome back to Tim Hinks' Toilet Man Part 2.
The worst Lou moment, where none of these powers were any good for me.
Yes.
When you fly to Israel, certainly this was true 3 or 4 years ago, when you enter Israeli airspace, you have to sit down.
Why?
Security. They want to see that you're not allowed to stand up on the plane.
Really?
Yeah. So you're not allowed to use the toilet on the plane.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. So it's about an hour. Well, part of the problem is you don't. It sort of varies, and if they have to do a holding. So when the first time I went, I went quite a few times. Well, the first time I went, they were told us that you just remind you, you will have to sit down. And so throughout the whole flight, I was thinking, at what point will I empty my bladder so that I know I'm ready? You know, so basically the entire flight was me getting up and down, thinking this is the moment.
Right.
Then there was the hour and so on, and it was really grueling, but I thought, I made it, right? So I made it, I sat down and we landed. And of course, as is the law in these things, I didn't need the loo for about another 6 hours.
Yeah.
But it was purely psychological. On the way back, I thought, okay, I'm going to prepare myself for this.
So when you... the first bit, you're not allowed to use the toilet.
No, the hour that you're flying...
So on the way back, it's the first
bit. Yeah, except that's not true. Oh. On the way back, because you've been through Israeli security, you're fine.
Oh, really?
So they don't mind. I think that's the point. They're relying on other people's security as you get there.
Right, wow.
So I thought, I felt this incredible relief. This is wonderful. So I took a massive slug, you know, I mean, sort of celebratory slug of water. Right. The toilets are free for the minute.
Right, you were like,
had a glass of wine, maybe.
You became Toilet Man.
I became Toilet Man. Yeah. We've redefined Toilet Man in so many different ways.
As someone who freely uses the toilet.
Sort of, and as if it was on tap, as it were.
Sort of is.
And
I'm sort of wondering where this story is going.
Okay, so
did you end up incontinent?
No, at no point does any story end up, and so I pissed myself.
that's what I'm assuming.
No.
Then I couldn't get in the toilet, and it was too late.
But about an hour in,
yeah,
maybe an hour and a half. It's a four-hour flight.
Yeah, it was hijacked.
Well, that would have been better,
yeah,
if I'm honest, depending on how cruel the hijackers were. I know they can be cruel.
It might not have been better. Yeah.
The pilot came on and said, in a very sort of quite flip manner, you may have noticed that none of the toilets are functioning.
Oh, no.
That's because there's something wrong with our system. Again, he didn't mean capitalism. He meant literally the loo system.
Yeah.
And
was it LL?
No, it's British Airways.
All right.
And he said, look, the thing is, we're an hour and a bit into the flight. We're not halfway. The important bit is we're not even halfway. So at least, so let's say they were 3 hours ago.
Yeah.
But we've decided to press on. We think that's better. So really sorry, but the toilets are going to be out of use.
Oh, my God.
The rest of the flight.
Oh, God.
And it was absolutely terrifying. I can feel now the sort of shudder of
Like, so what happened?
Well, so, and by the way, he said, this is only about 4 years ago, he said, gentlemen, you might be able to use a bottle. But he'd make a joke of it.
Right.
And didn't say what women could do. You know, it was just hot. The whole thing
how
was just
a toilet. Anyway, just doesn't it just open out into the sky? Like, what can be
they
that
must
wrong?
Must have thought of that. I don't know. It was something to do with the flushing system.
Yeah, but like the flushing system on a plane.
I don't think it's
considerably less complicated than that in a house, isn't it? It's just a hole. I mean, you know, when you do it, I'm often a little bit frightened.
True?
I don't know if you are.
Because
you fall
out.
It's always a moment when I'm a tiny bit frightened when I flush the toilet on a plane because there's a roaring sound that gives me a sense of, oh, what if I fell down that hole?
I do think there's an
issue. Not that that's very possible, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's definitely not possible to fall down that hole.
Yeah.
But I think when I learned that it isn't like a hole that goes out the plane.
Yeah.
I do buy that.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting they're hiding this. But why does it suck it with such ferocious intensity?
Well, because I think you're going very fast and you're in the air.
Right.
And that's, I think it is just a hole
that
goes into the sky.
But they say it isn't.
Is that right? Can that be true?
I don't think that's true.
Well, it doesn't seem to go to any septic tank beforehand.
You ever got a bit of toilet paper landing on your head?
Yeah, but I don't think from the height of a plane that a toilet paper would survive the drop or indeed poo. Would survive the drop. I don't know.
Really?
It's a good point, though. Why does it make such a terrible noise?
Would.
If it's just going into a tank in somewhere else in the plane, why does it make such
a
roaring sound?
It seems to be the same noise the door flying open would make, doesn't it, on
a
plane?
Well, I've seen films about plane accidents.
Being sucked out.
Always frightened being sucked out of a plane, like the beginning of Castaway, for example, which is a plane. It's the same noise, only with slightly more impact.
Yeah.
By the way, when I said, was it LL?
Yes.
I thought there was an opportunity for you to say, no, my hairdresser wasn't there. Except it doesn't quite work because his name is Pete, but the shop is called
Al's. My Spanish hairdresser.
Yeah, that's true.
My superpowers returned.
Okay.
On that flight.
Oh, yes.
Is all I was going to say. And the flight, they'd locked the doors and, you know, the toilets. And I thought, with about 40 minutes to go, I'm desperate for pee.
Yeah.
And I was not going to use a bottle. So I just got up.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm going to pee. Went to the toilet, opened the lock on the outside of the door, opened up the lid and weed.
Oh, so you did use the out-of-order toilet.
Then walked back.
That's amazing.
Untouched.
No one's ever done that.
No.
I think that is really a superpower. No one.
Thank you.
No one has ever, on a plane, after the toilets have been announced as out of order, used the toilet.
Right.
I don't think.
Well, I definitely did.
And I'm speaking as someone who I recently did show that your company makes called Unforgivable, and I talked about it's a show in which you have to reveal.
Yeah, I know.
Bad, I know, but the listeners don't because it hasn't been on yet.
Mm.
Bad things that you've done. You're sort of confessing to it, and I confessed that I went to the toilet. I had a big dump at my daughter's four-year-old birthday party at the Fairy Shop in Hampstead, which is in a basement. And I unfortunately did go for a dump, and when the door was opened, there was a four-year-old, not her, waiting to go in, who just burst into tears.
From
the smell. And then brilliantly as well, Tinkerbell, the woman who's dressed as Tinkerbell, came up to me and said, oh, you could have lit a match, which was the most out of character thing anyone's ever said, I think. But that was all in the point of saying that I really admire what you're saying, even though I am someone who my wife says, why do you always go to the toilet, particularly dump toilet, like when you need to? Like most people, if they go for a dinner party at someone's house and need to do that, they won't. But you will, right? Or or maybe when you're being shown round someone's house to buy it, you're thinking, I'll use the toilet.
Yeah,
I totally will use the toilet under almost any circumstances.
Yes.
I wouldn't have done that. I mean, maybe if I was really desperate, I guess I would have done. But I think I wouldn't have done because I'd be too worried that a whole plane in such a confined space would be looking at me thinking, what? I need to go to the toilet. That blokes you.
Oh, I see.
You know, and also of getting arrested because they might think, well, it's out of order. He must be a terrorist.
Wow, yeah.
That's why would you go in the toilets if they're out of order?
That's why the superpower kicks in.
Blow yourself up.
That's where the superpower kicks in. It just stops all the doubt.
And did no one say...
No, nothing.
No one looked at you? Or you just, people must have looked at you, but you just... The superpower bounced off.
Stop me seeing it, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can I just bring it back to the thing that I had about David Bowie prepared?
Yep.
And we've gone a roundabout way to get to it. But there's a story in the paper today, part of my new system of Bowie Google News. It's only taken me 3 years to think
of
that.
It's amazing. So you put his name in material, and you press news.
You press news. Is that he had a row with Lorne Michaels of SNL. He was on SNL a few times.
Yeah.
And this is an odd thing. Bowie got cross because Lorne Michaels wanted to do a comedy thing. The gist was, this is Bowie speaking now, was that I was somehow roped into a low-budget telly advert for a Brooklyn bakery. They wanted me to sing about their pastries. One of the things they came up with was a version of Watch That Man, but instead I would sing Try Our Flan. Isn't that incredible?
That's amazing.
So Lorne Michaels said, I've got a really funny idea. There's this local Brooklyn bakery, and it'd be really funny if you sing Try Our Flan. And, I mean, you know, I think of Bowie as sometimes a bit of a diva, but to be fair to him...
But hang on, so he didn't do that in the end?
Well, signing off on the humorous lyrical adjustment, Bowie had an issue with how the producers wanted him to pronounce the word flan. Now, that seems a bit odd. Is that an American thing? Like, how many different ways are there
there's
of
only
pronouncing
one way,
the word flan? Flan.
Try our flan.
You can't do a Dr. Evil impression, can you? I mean, you look a tiny bit like him.
A million pounds. Not really.
Yes,
I mean, I can say a million pounds.
Yeah, well, he's Lorne Michaels. That's who that's based on.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's totally based
on
Lorne Michaels. Well, it's almost... it's not him, but it's...
Right, that's quite an important thing.
But he both looks like and sounds...
Right.
I met Lorne Michaels.
Well,
sounds incredibly like him, yeah. And so Mike Myers was on SNL for many years.
So we think Bowie didn't do that, he objected to it, but it's a brilliant thing to ask him to do, isn't it?
I think you'll like this, is what Lorne Michaels said later of the issue. It's kind of... Because it's kind of TV exec speak, but sort of slightly tongue-in-cheek. David is a man of the world, Lorne Michaels later said. He's seen it all, and he takes food very seriously. I get that. But when you're running a big live production, last-second changes can be complicated. It's a very odd thing to say.
But that's surely a piss take.
It might be a piss take, although apparently he wasn't on it for a few years after that. Then eventually he was allowed back, but he then hit back by playing Scary Monsters, which Lorne had told him not to play because it was triggering for Lorne. Bowie says, we got to talking about this at dinner one night. Lorne told me that he had a hiatus from SNL, and he described how much cocaine he did while listening to Scary Monsters. This is Bowie speaking now. Mountains and mountains, sometimes straight off the record sleeve. Those are his words. I want to be clear about that. So he said, don't play Scary Monsters. It'll bring me back to my cocaine years. I mean,
amazing.
Bowie could have said, but every song I play brings me back to my cocaine years.
Incredible.
Yeah.
What?
It's an amazing story. Let's just consider for a second the flan thing.
Well, I suppose what I'm thinking in my head, which annoyingly I haven't got anything, is what other bakery-style lyrics you could have with Bowie. It must be so obvious. But what, Here Does? I mean, that's rubbish.
Here Does is absolutely terrible, but better than I can't come up with anything at the moment. I think you have to...
What can you do with donuts?
I think you might be reverse engineer, from bread, bagels.
Bread, okay.
Bagels.
No,
the
bread.
Bagel Brothers. Terrible.
That's rubbish.
It's absolutely rubbish.
bread, surely.
Cake.
What?
Cake. Something cake.
bread seems so easy because it's
but you can't have... Well, you can have bread.
We are the bread.
We are the bread is good.
Of Diamond Dogs.
Diamond Dogs. We are the bread is very good. Yeah.
Okay, now okay. Andy Warhol.
See, you're very good at this. Andy Warhol is brilliant. Excellent. Yeah. So Bowie could have said, well, I won't do Watch That Flan.
I'll do Andy Warhol.
Try Out Flan. You see,
have been a pronunciation.
Last episode
thing.
Or the episode before, we talked about how on that chopping board... I can't remember it exactly. What is it? Put on your apron and dice the stews is an absolutely terrible reworking.
Yeah.
It's hardly a reworking of put on your red shoes and dance the blues.
Blues,
right?
Yeah.
I'd say it's slightly better than Try Our Flan for Watch That Man.
No, the only thing I think is brilliant is it's a Bowie fan song to choose.
Yes.
It's not an obvious song, Watch That Man. It's not the complete
what
obscure.
What is the lyrics to Watch That Man leading to it?
She talks like a judge.
Jerk, but she's jerk. Something for the fork and spoon.
She can eat him with a fork and spoon.
She can eat him with a fork and spoon. Well, that's easy. She can eat it with a fork and spoon.
Yeah.
Try our flan.
Must have been that. Flan. Oh, no, hang on. Does that come after? He walks like a... No, that's the end bit, isn't it? It's even better. She walks like a jerk, but she could eat him with a fork and spoon. And
then must be in tune. It must be
in
tune.
Must be in tune, yeah.
Try our flan. But that's must be why Lorne
threw a party that lasted all night.
Threw a party that lasted all night.
Thankfully,
he went to this Brooklyn bakery to cater it.
It's open 24 hours. Yeah. So that's what's so good about that. Yeah.
It's an odd idea. But here's the thing, that when Bowie came back in 1999, right, here's a really weird thing. He was on the show with Jerry Seinfeld, right?
On what show? On Saturday Night Live?
On Saturday Night Live, right?
Yeah.
I haven't got any footage of the actual show, but they did a little thing. This is an intro to that episode.
Right? Okay.
Now, there's something I don't get, and I apologise, listeners, because I think it's a bit racist. Okay. Right? I'm not sure if it is or not.
Okay.
So I want to know what you think, okay, with the bit. So this is Bowie and Jerry Seinfeld talking about the upcoming show. Right? That they're going to do.
So, Chris Rock tells me you have a black wife.
Iman, yes.
But you're English, so...
I don't get it.
No. Well,
Bowie's doing a kind of Stan Laurel sort of look away, like sort of slightly troubled look away.
That's extraordinary. I don't get it. So what comes next? What are these?
Well, then they move on.
Why are we out here together?
Well, I'm hosting the show next week and you're the musical guest. You gonna sing Changes?
Yeah. Are you going to do the lost sock bit?
Yeah.
See you next week.
Yeah, see you.
That's quite funny, I think.
Yeah.
That's quite funny. Bowie does it well.
That is such an odd comment, isn't it?
I guess you're English.
What your black wife is sort of quite aggressive and feels...
Yeah, it's an odd start.
It's an odd start.
Chris Rock tells me you've got a black wife.
I suppose
he goes, at first I thought it was a pun, because he goes... Iman. He doesn't say, yes, her name's Iman. He just goes, Iman. And so I just thought, is that going to lead to a pun?
Yeah.
You know, a bit like my dog's
got
no nose.
And he says, you're English. It's not delivered with the comfort. When he says, but you're English, it seems...
What does it mean?
It sounds like he's saying, I would expect that of someone who's English. Yes, In other words, it's really racist and weird.
But I don't even understand the racism.
No, what's he
getting
at?
Because actually, Americans in general... are always surprised when English people are of any ethnicity whatsoever. They kind of think there's no British black people and no British Jewish people. They're always slightly surprised that British people aren't just like Churchill.
Yeah, and so maybe it's his delivery, but that's what he sort of meant. He's sort of
Jerry, you know, his delivery tends to be pretty good.
Exactly. Do you think it's a reference to something contemporaneous that we've forgotten about, that's some sort of topical thing? It's really odd, isn't it?
It's really odd. I don't get it.
I tell you what I don't like about that is that we'll never find out.
Yeah, well,
I feel like how will we ever
find out?
We could
put it out there.
Why? You know, what did that mean?
If anyone can tell us
what
that joke is about, I don't get it. I mean, the only thing I there is one thing it could possibly be, which is like race relations are so bad in America that would be like a big thing.
Okay, so he's making
for
a
an
point.
American.
Well, that's what I mean. Imagine that.
But it's 1999. It's not 1874 when this went out.
But imagine that week there'd been something had said about sort of anti marriage, you know, mixed race marriage, and there'd been some statement, and he's being sort of slightly provocative. And
I don't know. I mean, David must have got the script. I mean, there is one. There's one possibility which we haven't even thought about, which of course is David is not. We've said this before. Really, a great comedian, but thought he was. Maybe David wrote the bit.
Oh God!
And it just doesn't work. Maybe David said to Jerry.
That's a good point.
Maybe David said to Jerry, "Okay, we're doing a bit." Jerry wrote the second bit, which really does work, about you doing changes, you're doing the sock bit, right? That really works, right? But David said, hey, I've come up with an idea. And Jerry, even Jerry Seinfeld, was too embarrassed to say to David Bowie,
yes,
doesn't really work, David. It's a bit weird, a bit racist.
I think the other way is that it's because it's Chris Rock. Chris Rock is making a statement saying, we don't do that enough in America, but in Britain it's more liberal.
But that's not a joke.
No, it's not. Well, let's put it out there. I met Jerry Seinfeld years ago doing a terrible show.
What was it?
It was called The Marriage Ref.
Oh, yes. Did you do The Marriage Ref?
Executive producer of it. Were you on it?
I seem to remember being asked to do it, and then
Jonathan,
I didn't.
did it. I remember that, and it was hosted by Dermot.
Yes.
And both of those people were brilliant. The format just wasn't very good, but it was Jerry Seinfeld was executive producer of it, and he brought it here. And it was one of those slight, if I'm honest, slight feet of clay things where you're thinking, Jerry Seinfeld is a genius, but he's doesn't seem to be that good at TV formats. I mean, they're hard.
So what happened?
It went on air.
No, but what happened when you met him?
Oh, I see. Oh, I'm desperate for the toilet, so I have to go. I mean, honestly, it was like one of those meet and greet things, you know.
Just hello.
Where I was quite determined to say hello.
Yeah.
And said hello, and he said hello back, and I thought, I think we're done.
Right, okay.
One of my better showbiz anecdotes.
I worry that the weird thing that's happened in this podcast is that the toilet stuff was hilarious. And then when I brought it back to Bowie, it's just not quite... People just thinking, what? That's a really weird bit. It's a bit depressing. Do you think that's happened? There is another story, possibly funnier story, about how Freddie Mercury once sold David Bowie, I think, some shoes on Portobello Road, just around the corner from here.
Right.
And what I like about it is the story is told on this website with the words, "and the rest is history." I thought, like, that's not history. Like, I've never heard that Freddie Mercury sold David Bowie some shoes.
Well, I don't think that's what...
No, they do mean that. So I'm going to have to go to it now.
They don't mean they both...
No, they don't mean the rest is history, like Freddie was like a big star. He was a big star.
Right.
No. Hang on. Yeah. David Bowie met Freddie Mercury before they were famous. And we're going to say completely different ones. But Alan Marr was bootmakers to the stars. In Kensington Market, Freddie and Roger were burgeoning musicians who worked at a clothes and jewellery shop. Freddie came to work for me in 70. He stayed until 74.
What?
That can't be right. Weren't they like hugely...
Working in a shoe shop at the height of his fame.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, unfortunately, this is not the version that I saw. One day, Bowie was strolling around Kensington Market when he chanced upon Alan Marr's stall, complete with his assistant, Freddie Mercury.
Well, that must be it, isn't it?
Space Oddity had been a hit, but he said he had no money. Freddie Mercury said, "Typical music beers." I said, "Look, have them for free." And so there was Freddie Mercury, a shop assistant, giving David Bowie a pair of boots he couldn't afford to buy. Now, sadly, this is not the website I read this morning, which before it told that story said, "and the rest is rock music history," and then told that story. I thought, well, no, that...
Right.
I mean, it is rock music history, but not rock music history that anyone really knows about.
No, I've never heard that.
Yeah.
What I did watch last night on Amazon Prime...
Yes.
...is... Have you seen it? The documentary that links... Well, it's not that hard to link them. Bowie, Lou Reed and Iggy Pop.
It's really not hard to link them.
It's not hard at all. I mean,
A documentary that links, and you're in a documentary about all three of them.
Sorry, I don't mean it seems to have come up with the evidence that they might have worked together. Yeah. We all know. What I mean is it's about three of them. It's called the Holy Trinity or something.
Is it? Oh, that sounds brilliant.
Well, see... Okay, let's make that homework for the next one. Have a look. I think it's sort of... Of course it's brilliant on one level because there's lots of footage and... And it's quite a nice angle when we're always looking for new, you know, just to say, let's look at those three. And it looks them between 71 and 73. I think the problem is you get a sense for these docs very quickly, don't you, about how they're going. And it starts, this is what wound me up, and I couldn't quite get back from it. It starts with Bowie in 72. And, at the end of Ziggy. So, yeah, the final performance. And he does his... not only is this the last.
Yeah.
By the way, the thing about when he says not only, I'm not going to say, I mean, we know he does the we'll ever do. But the other thing, which, have we ever spotted this, which is really clear and sort of odd, he goes, not only is this the last show of the tour.
I think, yeah, he just like had some slight estuary vowels, didn't he?
It's really pronounced. So he says it's not the last show of the tour.
Yeah.
And he goes into that. And what the voiceover does is say, something to the effect of, in this moment, Bowie brought to halt the sort of super galactic tour he'd made of the astral as he landed on Earth.
Annoying.
I think, no, he didn't do that at all.
No, he didn't do that.
Like,
that's
nobody's
so,
done that.
That's so annoying. It's,
what you mean is, he wrote one famous song, Space Oddity, which is about space. Starman's sort of about space, but isn't really.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's not a spaceman.
He
doesn't travel
a
to space. He's not a supernatural being. He took on some of the form. And it just put me off in that lazy,
that is totally annoying.
Bowie way.
Yeah, it's totally annoying. But I think possibly we could go out on the question. If in, I don't know, not that long ago, or in 1978, someone had said Bowie, Lou Reed, Iggy Pop, who's going to be the survivor...
Right.
Of those three in 2020, who would you have said then?
Oh, I see. Literally living.
Yeah, who do you thought would outlast the others?
Yeah,
I would say Iggy's going to be the last one you choose. Even though they both, or they all, yeah. all three of them were living extreme lives and taking too many drugs.
Yeah.
Iggy Pop was doing that and cutting himself up. And
No. There's no question about that. There's that sort of Keith Richards, or not that any of the Stones.
Yes, he is kind of Keith Richards. It's a weird thing, that, isn't it? That some pop stars seem to have a bit like you do when you're going to the toilet. They seem to have an Iron Man suit around them, whatever they do.
Don't forget, I'm talking here effectively as David Banner, so I don't really know that I've got that superpower.
Right.
I've heard
David Banner does know he's the Hulk.
He does.
That's why he says, you won't like me when I'm angry.
No, that's very
true. That's a bit like you saying, you won't like me if I need to go to the toilet.
You will like me.
You won't like me, but I won't care. I think
more specifically, you won't question me.
when I go to the toilet.
Like or not like. I don't think it's that.
That's quite Darren Brownish. You won't question me when I go to the toilet. And then, weirdly, every time you walk into the toilet, no one even sees you.
Exactly. But
or maybe they do see you and they want to question you, but they can't and they don't know why.
Yeah, they look back at it and think, whether you want to say, why didn't you question them? And they just do that sort of,
But he totally knows he's the Hulk, but I don't know.
He knows that, but he doesn't know what he's done.
Yeah, he doesn't exactly know what he's done.
He doesn't know what he's done as the Hulk. No. So he sort of wakes up, doesn't he, with a sort of sore head.
He wakes up and his clothes are ripped.
Yeah.
Which I've always thought I think we're in the realm of very nursery stand-up here, but it is the case that his clothes get ripped, and yet somehow the Hulk is always wearing boxer shorts.
There is that.
It's kind of weird. It's like all his other clothes get completely ripped off.
Yeah.
But the trousers, they get a bit ripped, but somehow they're elasticated enough. Even though his waist is, what, maybe four times what it is as David Banner?
Oh, easily. Yes, that's a good question, actually. I mean, if you watch the Avengers films, they make Hulk, like, more stronger than virtually anything on Earth.
Yeah.
You know, he's like their secret weapon, isn't he?
Yeah,
and he's incredibly strong and incredibly big.
Yeah. He still wears boxer shorts.
But he still, I don't know if he wears boxer shorts, but does he wear boxer shorts? But he wears
He's Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's a sense in which the Hulk has a costume in the way that
he has a sort of anti-costume. He breaks it.
The Flash or whatever turns into the Flash.
Yeah.
He's got a costume.
Or like when I turn into
a toilet man, you've got like a toilet on. But I think the Hulk is just whatever Mark Ruffalo, or whoever it might be, David Banner, is wearing. He's wearing the remnants of that. And yet, the pants always become oversized.
Yeah. Yes, I see what you mean.
I think there's a clear reason for that, which is otherwise you'd see a very big green penis. That would cause problems with the rating.
Yeah, no, that definitely would.
Although it would look incredibly like broccoli. Would a big green penis look incredibly like broccoli?
Yeah, I suppose it would.
Assuming he's got green pubic hair as well.
It would look like one of your five a day. There's no question, which would be off-putting. But I think the other problem I think I've always had with the Hulk, seeing as that's what this podcast is now about, is...
I think we're just going to put some distance between everything we say and the David Bowie, Jerry Seinfeld racist joke.
They have a problem with, I think, anger calibration.
Right.
In that, in the original comic, but certainly in the TV series, what turns him into the Hulk in the title sequence is fixing a tyre.
Oh, right.
And he's doing a jack on the tyre, and he slips, his hand slips, and he sort of hurts his hand.
Right.
In a way that is, annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's what tips him into the Hulk.
Yeah, that is funny, actually, because I see what you mean, is that I think in the films now, it's like the world is about to end.
And then
he gets really cross.
And I'd say more than that, you see
it's
in
not like he's banged
Endgame
his head.
And he's trying to make himself angry and he can't.
Yes, that's right.
Whereas, you know, I think you can just do it by getting a jack wrong.
Yeah, it's like, I've got no signal. That's not enough.
That was very like you turning to the Hulk.
Thank you very much. We're going to have to stop because you have to go home.
Yeah.
What did you have to do? You had to take your daughter somewhere.
Yeah, I got to take my daughter to Bristol, yeah.
Okay, let's go out on that.
Yeah.
I think people like to look into our lives in that way.
We could end on the one good thing about the Amazon thing, which I hadn't realised, maybe you had.
No.
Which is that the piano on Perfect Day, I think I'm right in saying...
I haven't watched this thing, so how would I know this?
But do you know anyway?
I know that there's piano on Perfect Day.
But do you know who played it?
I never knew it was David Bowie, if that's what you're going to tell me.
No, Mick Ronson.
Mick Ronson?
That's what I think I learned.
Okay. I've been looking for a piano tuner recently.
Yeah.
And I'm part of this sort of like email round robin thing of my local street. And someone told me that there is someone who we can get. And his name, I think, is Bruce Garson.
Oh. Right?
And I said to Dolly, who plays the piano, I said, oh, this guy called Bruce Garson. And then it struck me, she said, maybe he's a relative of Mike Garson.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, but wouldn't that be brilliant? Because the way Mike Garson plays
is
sort of like someone platooning a piano. Isn't it?
I see what you mean.
Yeah. It's like, so if you were there and you just heard that, you'd think like, is that Mike Garson or is that someone tuning a piano? He seems one of the most surviving people.
The most surviving people? Yeah, is like, that a category?
No, that's not a category, but I've said it anyway. I follow him on Twitter. Here we go. What's he doing now? There we go. Let's play this. Yeah.
What's that?
It'd be great if he stopped now and used a spanner to just adjust one note. This is his version of Space Oddity, by the way. Surely you could tell.
Wow.
A song he didn't play on, of course. Rick Wakeman played on it. Did he?
Yeah. Oh, there
he is. Anyway, we're going to get on mic. We'll see you next time.
How lovely.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.